Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Message-Podcast der LifePoint Church Stuttgart. Als Gemeinde leben wir nach der Vision, wir existieren, dass Menschen ein erfülltes Leben in Christus finden können. Wir hoffen, dass Gott durch diese Message zu dir spricht und dass du dadurch gesegnet wirst.
Okay, now let's get the stage set up here. We're going to unfortunately have to use the cable mics because we have sort of like a curse on our church where all the... I don't know what it is, man. But every time we're up here, it's like, oh, it cuts out. So as Robin so nicely introduced, we are starting a new series today, Life Stories, which I love this series because you get to know people that you probably never normally would have on stage, right? And we just would like to open it up. It's kind of like the street interviews. Ever see those on YouTube or something? They go and interview people on the street and just get to meet very interesting individuals. You know, we tend to focus on who's in the media, social media, the celebrities, like those are the people we all know, but there's extremely cool people that nobody knows about out there. And this is the chance to get to know them. And I'd like to invite one of them to the stage. James, could you come up? Oh, can I have my cards? Yeah. We need our questions here, or else we'll be here forever. Hi, James. Nice to have you.
Hello.
Welcome to Late Night with Network Relay. No. James, I'll quickly give a brief introduction, and you can correct me. But James is originally from Wales, so I think you have the coolest national flag of any country in the world, for sure.
Thank you.
And James also came to Germany because of love, I would say, right?
And the pretzels, obviously.
And, of course, the pretzels. Love for pretzels. But we're just. If it's kind of weird. I'm old, so I need my pillow here. But we're just glad that Laurel brought you here into our church. And you've been here for how long now?
How long? 8 months.
8 months. Okay. Yeah. All right. And... how has Germany treated you so far?
Pretty good so far.
Yeah.
Interesting language.
Yes, for sure.
A little bit difficult.
Is it kind of like Welsh?
Very different.
Okay.
Very different, yeah.
Well,
but it's been fun. It's been fun learning.
Good, great. Yeah, but you're originally, as I said, from Wales. Can you briefly tell us about your childhood and what brought you to this country?
Yeah, so I had a pretty good childhood, I would say. My dad is a pastor, so I'm a PK. So shout out to all the PKs here today.
Yeah.
So I had a pretty good childhood. It was interesting, I would say, if most people looked at my childhood. You know, Christmas Eve, there'd be a random alcoholic guy coming around for dinner, and you know, like dad was always away looking after people and stuff. But that was normal for me. That was my childhood. School was pretty good as well, other than when my dad would come in to take assemblies. I don't know what you would call assemblies here. Okay, like in the school, so everyone would see my dad come in. Sometimes he'd be dressed up as Santa Claus or Jesus one time. So
was that kind of embarrassing?
It was kind of embarrassing, but it was. But you get used to it, you know. Yeah. So and I played a lot of sport. So. Rugby was my thing growing up. I played rugby from a very young age. So, yeah.
And did you have any siblings?
Yeah, so I've got one older brother and then a younger brother and a younger sister as well.
Okay. So, yeah. And who was sort of the one that, you know, told everybody else what to do?
You sat with him, Matt.
Okay, all right. Not the oldest one. Very nice. Very nice. So your father is a PK. And what did your mom do? Was she
So my mom, she worked in a kindergarten. But then she got sick a lot when we were in. She had cancer when I was young, and then she got better, and then she had cancer again recently. So she stopped working when I was fairly young just to make sure she was getting better.
So okay. So she kind of had a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. It was good for us. You know, we got to spend a lot of time with her, and it meant that my dad could go doing the pastoring things, and if someone needed him, then they didn't have to worry about childcare or putting me or my brother in charge, because no one wanted that.
What would happen if that happened?
I probably wouldn't be here today now.
Yeah. Wales would have been blown up or
definitely,
something.
Yeah.
Very cool. So church has been a part of your life basically since the beginning. So how do you view church differently than, say, somebody that just attends it? How did that affect you?
Well, I would say for the most part of my life, I just attended church as well. I had Christian values, and I was a pretty good kid most of the time. Growing up. But I never really believed too intently, and I didn't really want that as my life. Mm-hmm. And it was only later on in life that I sort of found Jesus for myself rather than just someone that goes to church.
Yeah. Yeah. And what would you say was there's always that point in somebody's faith journey where you sort of understand what the deeper meaning of it is. Mm-hmm. Is there a formative experience you had that you could say brought you further into I want to follow the faith of my parents?
Yeah, so this is a bit of a long story. This is a bit of a sad story. Yeah. So probably up until I was about 18, 19, I'd go to church, when I wasn't playing rugby or when I wasn't hungover from the night before from partying or whatever. And then I got into a relationship. It was a really bad relationship, mm-hmm. very abusive, very toxic, all that sort of stuff. But it left me very depressed. Mm-hmm. And then on two sort of occasions, I was ready to end it all sort of thing.
Oh, okay, wow.
Very sad, sorry. But it was a very dark time in my life. It was a situation I couldn't escape from. And for me, I saw one way out. And then I just decided to pray. And then I really felt God say, just have one more day. And both times that happened, the day wasn't great the next day, but I was still going.
Yeah, praise God.
And I would say that for me really brought me closer to God.
Wow.
Because it had to, because for me, I saw no other way.
Yeah,
to survive. And I had great family, great friends, but this relationship took me away from everything I knew to be good.
Yes,
except God. And even with God, I wasn't particularly close. Yeah. But in a desperate situation, for me, I saw no other way. But yeah, that for me really brought me closer to God. And so far, it's been really good.
Praise God. Yeah. Wow, that's pretty hefty, man. I'd say.
Yeah. It's not there.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
But that's why we like doing these, because we get to know each other, and I think all of us can somewhat relate to that. What made you make those decisions early on that really weren't necessarily in line with what God wanted?
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know the rugby culture and the sport culture in the UK, it's if you're good at sport, you play sport, mm-hmm. but you also have to be good at drinking and partying.
All right.
So for me, it was kind of like they came hand in hand. The better I got at playing rugby, the better I got at drinking.
Yeah.
And for me, it didn't necessarily take me away from my values and everything, but it just made me forget about God. And for me, around the time 18, 19, 20, was when I was getting really, really good at rugby.
Okay.
So I was getting really, really good at drinking.
Yeah.
but with that as well, obviously, that I was heavily depressed.
Yeah.
And for me, drinking was kind of a way to almost forget about those sort of things.
Sort of medicate the depression.
Yeah, yeah. And it was only after that that I realized what I'm doing is hurting other people as well with the drinking. So yeah, that's all.
Did you still attend church at that time?
Yeah, I'd still go. And, for most people, they would say, well, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's quite a bit quiet, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I would still do things. I was still very nice to people. I was still very helpful. I wasn't a bad person, but I wasn't a good Christian.
Would you say you were living kind of a double life?
Maybe not double life, because I never pretended to be a certain way, but it was more I lived not the greatest life, maybe.
So not a very transparent life.
Definitely not, no.
Well, okay. Well, let's go to the moment where, you cry out to God and he says, take one more day.
Yeah.
What were the, how did you see your faith come to life in that time? Like, what were some of the, what was that experience like for you?
So initially nothing massively changed. Mm-hmm. I prayed a lot and cried a lot, but I still didn't talk. I still kept it in. I was still in this abusive relationship. And for me, it wasn't like a light bulb moment where everything changed all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then the first thing that happened was their relationship ended, but then came the struggle with depression. So for me, it was going from one problem to another. And for me, that was really hard, but it was just, for me, it was just slowly knowing that, okay, even if things have happened, God never turned his back.
Yeah.
So for me, it was more of like a slow process of like a drip feeding, I think they call it. Just like, okay, no, I'm still here. I haven't gone, you know, I'm always there. And that for me was the most important thing, that even in my darkest time, God didn't see it as like the end or the worst. It was like, okay, you're good.
Was kind of a grind, would you say? Like just kind of
for sure,
taking a day at a time. When did you say you could look back after how long of a period of time and say, wow, I feel things are going, like you just feel better. You realize that you're thinking straight. And
so I knew that I was getting a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the first moment where I felt real joy, obviously I had happy moments, but was when I met my lovely wife.
Oh, wonderful.
And
let's go, Laurel.
No, and it was just when we together one night, it was like the second time, second night we'd met. So
yeah,
why she stuck around, I got no idea. but no, it was just, we just talked through everything. And then at that moment, it was probably like a therapist. I should have paid you. But it just felt like, oh, okay, that's not me anymore. Yeah. That's an old me. And this is sort of a new me. And
wow. So, when did you, let's come back to that. How did you get to know Laurel?
Well, that's a great story. Maybe you should come and tell it. Because I'll definitely tell it wrong.
hey, every story has two sides, you know?
So that's a very good story. So it's a really, really, really long story if we go all the way back. But basically, my brother did a leadership school in America where he met his wife. Mm-hmm. And his wife lived with Laurel in the leadership school in America.
Very cool.
And then at the wedding, we met. So we all stayed in like my brother-in-law's house. It's like a big house in Texas. And we were going to do worship together. So we stayed there for like 10 days, got to know each other. And then, But yeah, I had an interesting voice message. So the first contact me and Laurel had together. So my brother asked if I would do worship. And I said, And then I had a message from his wife 2 days before we fly out and said, oh, my friend would like to do worship with you.
Okay.
And I thought, yeah, it's fine. And I'm, you know, I'm quite a relaxed guy. You know, things don't really stress me out.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll figure it out when I get out there. And then
last famous words,
I get a 5-minute voice message from Laurel asking me to explain chords, keys, everything. And musical theory, I'm not very good at. And I sat there and I thought, I said to my brother, I was like, Luke, who is this girl? but then obviously we met and we spoke and I realized how relaxed Laurel is.
Nice. So it's
nice.
Good. Yeah. A little bit of the Black Forest flavor in there.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, okay, but it gave me,
very cool. Well, I'm sure you could explore that.
Yeah, we'll
in depth, but we're gonna have to move on. So I'm assuming you didn't become a professional rugby player.
No.
Okay. I also know that smoke has to do with your life as well, since you spoke about the Pope.
Yeah.
But not that kind of smoke. Yeah. So can you lead us in a little bit what smoke has to do with your
So I'm not just really good at barbecuing. no, so I had a contract offer to play professional rugby, but at the same time I had an offer to become a firefighter.
Okay.
So I went the more steady route, which is what my family advised, not the more fun route. So I spent 6 years as a firefighter in the UK before moving out here to Germany.
Wow, that's intense.
Yeah.
Instead of grass, you put out flames.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah. Wow. Amen.
So, how do you see your faith? sort of connect with your profession and your experiences?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting living in a world where faith doesn't play a big part for most people, and then me bringing some kind of faith in there. Of course, you have good discussions, you have good talks, and you get very close. You're like a family when you're working together so closely. But for me, it just gave a different perspective on life, I guess.
Yeah.
Like some of the things you would see and deal with, of course, they would affect you like long term. But you kind of see it, and you have the opportunity to, you know, maybe be with someone in their last moments.
Yeah.
You know, and at times you can not pray out loud, but you know, in your head, just give a little prayer for that person. And it kind of just gives you an appreciation, maybe for life, but also for family and the things that we do have, rather than the things that we don't have.
You know? Wow. And would you say that when you started your career as a firefighter, that your faith was like growing at that time?
Yeah. I had a pretty good faith. And early on, you know, you would see some things and it would maybe question, it's like, how does God allow something like this to happen? And I don't know the answer. I sort of haven't said, you know.
These are deep questions.
But you kind of realize it's like, okay, bad things do happen in the world, but it doesn't mean that everyone is bad. And that's just, for me, that was really important for me to remember.
What was your relationship with your parents at that time?
It was really good. So my relationship with my parents has always been good. They're amazing. Yeah. If they listen to the podcast, then, you know, you guys are great.
I have to ask, did your dad come as Santa Claus to the fire station?
No, he did not. I think they're actually coming in a couple of months, so they might come to church. So
okay,
I might tell him to dress up for that then.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. He can come as a Welsh Santa Claus if he wants.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, a good family is so important. Yeah. And just really thankful for godly parents. It's hard, you know, when you try to raise your kids according to the truth, and they make their own decisions. But the fact of the matter is, we're all independent. We all make our own decisions, and we all have to basically live with that. But what a blessing that there's godly parents out there that stick with their kids, that pray for them. And so we're just glad your parents did that, because here we are. I'm sure Laurel is really thankful for that. To throw my little Turkish thing in here, in Turkey you say "Onlara dua ettim," meaning I prayed to them. So she's praying to your parents right now, kind of. But cool. So in this process, did you find yourself becoming more involved in church?
Yeah, I think even when I was young, well, as a pastor's kid, you don't really have a choice to be involved.
Basically, that's true.
You're helping at everything. You're setting everything up. You're cooking you know, whatever it is, you're there. So
yeah, you can ask my boys.
So boys, I understand. But no, like I was always involved with church. Mm-hmm. Obviously, working like shifts and stuff, you kind of miss some Sundays. But I was always involved. Well, when I learned how to play guitar, I was involved in worship. Mm-hmm. Whatever was needed in the church at that time, I'd be involved in prison work, anything
wow.
sort of
prison
like
prison work.
Yeah.
Oh, can you give us a brief explanation what that was like?
Yeah, it's wild. it's really great. I think it's, for me, it's something that I really, really enjoyed doing back in Wales. And it's kind of like, for me, they were my favorite church services. So sorry again, Dad, if you're listening. I really like your church as well. But no, they were my favorite because it was so genuine, the people there. You know, they have needs completely different to what we have sat here today. So it was just an amazing experience to be able to go in there and speak with them, do worship with them, pray with them, whatever.
Just kind of raw.
Yeah, it was just wild. Like they had no concept of what church should be.
Yeah.
So they decided what church should be for themselves.
That's nice. What's like one of the more memorable experiences you had in doing that? Like, can you remember a moment maybe where you're like, wow, this is, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. So you have your bad moments, like people dealing in the corner and stuff and fighting and stuff. Like, but you have your great moments as well, where people are coming up to you. It's like, can you pray for me? I've got this. It's like, oh, this week I held a Bible study on A, B, and C, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, actually, it's pretty amazing. The stuff that's going on, you can see the bad, and you can talk about the bad. But for me, the important stuff is the good stuff that was going on there.
Very cool.
Because wherever you go, there's bad stuff in there. But hopefully, no fights in here.
Yeah. Wow, that's very interesting. In all of this, what would you say your passion in ministry is? You like
Laurel. No, I don't know. I guess people, like helping people, mm-hmm. like wherever I've been, wherever I've done, I've tried to help people in some way. So I think whatever I do or whatever, for me, the most important thing is the people.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which is probably why you came to Germany, right?
Amen.
No, but obviously you're not a firefighter anymore.
No.
So what... I don't know how to put this without sounding mean, but what are you doing in Germany?
I don't know. No. No, so I've been in school learning German, mm-hmm. so I can speak a little bit now, so I can understand when people are talking about me.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
Great.
Very important.
And I'm also working in CrossFit Stuttgart.
Okay.
So
very cool.
So if you want to get fit, then come check it out. Yeah. Like yeah.
I see a theme here. It's very physical with you. Like,
yeah, you know. Yeah. That's how I deal with most of my stress. So it's quite good.
That's good.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing now. And then I'll figure out the future in the next few weeks or months or whatever. So,
Are you like, how do you figure you're going to figure the future out? Like, do you have a plan in your head or are you just kind of taking it a day at a time?
I don't think I've ever planned anything in my life.
Okay.
I think I learned from a young age, you can make your plans. There's a saying, I think it's like, you make your plans and God changes them, or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, it's quite counter-German, I think. I don't have any plan
Extremely,
at all.
Extremely, I have to say.
Which is quite funny, really.
Yeah.
But I've got no real plan, I've got no real idea, and I'm quite happy not having a plan.
I can testify that not being tied to like a tight schedule is a nice thing. Little bit of our background that we were in Turkey for so many years. It's been interesting to try to. I don't like having a calendar, but it's like this. You can't escape it in Germany, right? You have to write everything down, and it's just kind of a culture clash. But I think all of us that are with the Lord sort of have a vision and a mission on our lives. We hear from him. What would you say yours is? Would you describe it as?
I don't know. I guess me and Laurel have talked about the question, so we kind of spoke about this. But I think for me, I would say it's just to show kindness wherever you can.
Yeah.
I'm not really someone that's going to go out onto the streets and preach and everything, but for me, if I can show a little bit of Jesus in just the way I am, then that's, for me, that's what I should be doing. And I think kindness is something that we can lack a lot of in the world at the moment. And if we can show a little bit of kindness, then I think it stands out quite a lot. So maybe just being kind.
That's really good. Another thing that just came to mind, but when you're at CrossFit and you're working out, how do you bring your faith into that? And if so, how?
Again, I don't really, I'm not really someone to go around preaching, but so me and Whitney have spoken about stuff, maybe me and Toby as well. So it's like, if people want to talk about that sort of stuff, then we will. But most of the time it's like after a workout, you don't really want to speak about anything to anyone.
So it's like, I just want to go shower.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe I should be a bit better in that, but no, I think it's just being available
for
that when it happens, because it doesn't always happen in the, when you expect it or when you want it. It's more, it just kind of comes up, doesn't it?
So, yeah, for sure. Mm. That's cool. It's 11:30, so we should probably wrap up here a little bit. But do you have a verse that is sort of like meaningful to you that you comes to mind a lot and that has been applicable to a lot of what you've experienced in life?
Yeah, so... there's one verse, and I think it's misquoted a lot, and I know that I misquote it a lot. And it's Philippians 4:13.
Yeah.
And for me, when I was going through all of my really, really hard moments, it was like, I know I can't do this on my own.
Yeah.
I got no chance. I'm done if it's just me. But with God, I can do anything.
Yeah.
And I know that it's taken slightly out of context, but for me, I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's like that's the meaning for me for that verse. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's really important, is just whatever I go through in my life, I know that I'm not doing it on my own. No matter who's around me, there's always a God that's with you as well.
Amen. So, amen. Yeah. No, that's a great verse. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. And It makes sense because I know a lot of athletes that love that verse too. Especially when you're like in the fight, you're like, ah,
exactly,
I don't know if I can do one more play, and like, I can do it. Yeah, and then it happens. So that's cool. Well, there's a whole lot more we can unpack here. I'm sure you have a lot more interesting stories you could tell, experiences. We could sit here all day, just listen. But I hope this is just like a little taste for you guys to, you know, just come and hear more from James personally. I'm sure just like all of us. No, not really. Okay. Don't then. Just go to CrossFit and work out with him. I'm sure Whitney would enjoy that and Toby as well. So, but yeah, thank you for taking the time and being willing to come out on stage. Not everybody is, you know, that looks that favorably on it. So thank you for accepting the invitation. And we're glad you're here. Thank you, Laurel, for bringing him to Germany. And as a son of a German and an American, you guys made the right choice. Yeah. So your kids are going to be awesome. Not that I'm going to say anything about myself. But but let me just pray for you guys, and then we'll do a couple of announcements. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for James. Thank you for his life. Thank you for sparing his life, not once but twice. And that you raised him in a godly family where you were in the center of it all. And even when he was in the phase of life where he was wandering far from you, Lord, you still were with him. And what a memory and reality for us to remember that when we are far from you, you're always there. Even if we feel far from you, Lord, you're always close by and you're one prayer away. And we just thank you for how you brought him back, how you introduced him to Laurel, how you've brought them together, and how they're building a new life here, Lord. I just pray for this life. I pray, Lord, that it would be a life that honors you, that pleases you, that would be like a tree planted by the streams of water that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither, and that many other people can come and rest underneath their branches of peace and kindness. And we just thank you that you're already doing these things in their lives. I just pray for James that he would be able to remember his German every day, and that you would also provide for him a job that gives him joy, that enables him to live out his faith in an effective and really meaningful manner. And we just pray, Lord, for you to expand their borders here in Germany. Thank you that they're here. Thank you, Lord, for this time too, to hear just some stories about other people. And we thank you that every single one of us, Lord, has a story to tell. Every single one of us is precious in your eyes. Every single one of us has that treasure of life that you want to give us. And may we share that with each other, I pray, in this time. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Wow, was für eine Message. Wir hoffen, dass dieses Wort zu dir gesprochen hat und dich durch den Tag und die kommende Woche begleiten wird. Wenn du mit uns in Kontakt treten möchtest, kannst du gerne auf unsere Website und Social Media vorbeischauen. Bis zum nächsten Mal, sei gesegnet.